basically, that scene never happened. At least it never happened in William Wallace. It's a movie adaptation to what happened to exactly to Rabbi Akiva. What was the scene? What was the case again with Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is brought out. The Gemara describes exactly to the T. He's brought out. They start to peel his skin with that big metal skin peeler. And they're peeling him slowly but surely until his entire body is hemorrhaging. And his students around in the crowd, as you could see, the students are around in the crowd. And they're screaming out like, Akiva, Akiva, like Rabbi Akiva. Zui Schara, this is the reward? This is the reward for Torah? You lived your life, giving your life for the Jewish people. You knew nothing, zero, became the greatest sage on the planet. Had 24,000 students, lost all 24,000, didn't give up. Created five. From those five, we have all of our knowledge. All of Torah knowledge, all of depth, everything comes from those five. And now you're in this situation, and this is the reward? So they're screaming out mercy. And now they ask even a greater question when he sees in his face, he's about to say, Shema. I don't know how they recognized it. And they asked, Ad Khan, really? You have to go this far? And either it doesn't make sense that he would start giving a whole long lecture. Either he said it later and they understood it in whatever it means in Ruach HaKodesh. Remember, we're talking about Rabbi Shimon was one of the students. He's the redactor of the whole Kabbalah. So how they got this message is a good question. I doubt it was at the scene. But at least the way the Torah, the Gemara describes, at the scene he starts saying to them. At the scene he starts saying to them, he says, all my life, I have been waiting for this moment. I have been waiting for this moment. What is that? Because every day, every morning and every night, I say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And I wonder, when it says, Va'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, what does that mean? Va'ahavta means, and you'll love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul and all your wealth. All your heart and all your soul. Even if they come to take your soul. Even if they come to take your soul. You have to love Hashem even if you have to give up your life. And he says, all my life I have been wondering. I have been wondering if I would be able to fulfill this commandment. If it came down to it and my life was on the line, would I be able to stand up to this moment? And now I'm there at that moment. I'm at the point of death where they're scraping my skin and I'm hemorrhaging to every part of my body. Can I stand up to the challenge? Can I stand up to the challenge? Of course I am. And with the last moments of his strength in front of the entire Romans that were gathered around and screaming and yelling in front of his students, he screams out, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and with Echad, with one, his soul leaves his body. And he leaves the world. Such an incredible, powerful moment, but so puzzling to us. Meaning, just going back to the movie, one last comment on the movie. If you see exactly how the Gemara stated, that's the movie. I'm telling you, that scene never happened. It's straight from Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva's life. I don't know who was the producer who snuck that in there, but incredibly powerful moment. But what was the learning lesson? What was this from? This seems like, on some level, suicide. You know, Pappas ben Yehuda, from our perspective, is 100% right. Like, what are you doing it, Rabbi Akiva? Like, you caused that whole scene.
But is Pappas living?
Pappas actually got caught also, and he got seemingly executed. That's all a different story. But Pappas was supposed to live. Pappas was supposed to live. Pappas doesn't understand, Rabbi Akiva. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Literally, what are you doing? You're committing suicide. Like, go hide, run in the caves. What do you have to gather the entire Jewish people and make this statement? What statement are you making? So he goes back to him and he says to him, look, what am I going to say to this guy who thinks life is all about a good career, going to the movies, going to the theater, being a part of cultured Western society of the Romans? What can I do, get into this guy? He's got his nice house, his nice wagon, donkey, Ferrari, whatever you want of that time. He's living the life. He thinks he's got it. He doesn't understand anything what I'm doing right now. What can I tell him? What can I get that's going to pierce his heart right now? See what I'm going to tell him? I'm going to tell him exactly that story of the fish and the fox. What's the fish and the fox? The fish are darting around. Who's the fish, obviously? That's the Jewish people. And there's constant nets. The fishermen are trying to grab us. Even while we're in our own habitat, even when we're in Israel, even when we're studying Torah, even when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing in this world, there's still going to be the nets that are going to try to pull us out. And of course, there's the foxes. And the foxes are the most difficult. And you know who the foxes represent? Not the foxes. You didn't get caught by the fisherman, Pappas. You got caught by who? The fox. What is the fox saying? Come, join us. Come on dry land. Come, live with us. Be with me. Like our forefathers. What forefathers? What, we're part of regular humanity? Have we ever been? Have we ever been accepted? Who are you trying to fool? But that's constantly the message. That's the message now. Come, join us. Live like everyone always used to live. Like we always listen to one big happy family. Be a part of America. Be a part of France. That's the message. Just assimilate. Drop what you have. Don't live in your habitat. Don't live in the water. What's the water? Torah. Your lifestyle. Values. What you're really supposed to live for. You know what? Just come live with us like everyone else in a big happy family. It'll be nice and exciting. And you'll get away from the fishermen that are trying to always grab you from your water. Says Rabbi Akiva, you're nuts. You don't have a concept. You have a clue what we stand for and what we live for. On dry land, are you crazy? Drop everything that we have? This is what we have. Our life, our meaning, everything is in the water. If it's dangerous for me and I'm going to be caught by the fishermen, how much more so? How much more dangerous will it be on dry land? I'm for surely going to die. We're for surely finished. It's over. One last story to kind of wrap it up, and then we'll put it all together. Is story of very powerful story, true story in 1948, of Baruch Cohen. I may have told it, some people might have heard it before. Baruch Cohen was a Holocaust survivor. But before that, he was living in Poland, 11 kids, beautiful wife, doing very well, very wealthy business owner. And of course, 1939 comes around and the whole world turns over. Him and his whole family are first transported to the ghettos. And eventually, 9 of his children, including his wife, are transported. When they're separated, they got transported to Treblinka, killed immediately. And him and his one 16-year-old son somehow got transferred to Auschwitz instead. And they survived the war. when they survived the war, they try to go to Israel. But crazy, if you can even imagine the time frame. The British were preventing us from going to Israel. You had to go on an illegal ship to try to block a blockade that was preventing Holocaust survivors from going into the land of Israel. That was what the British were doing. So they had to run. Think about it. You just survived the Holocaust. You had to run past a blockade by the British who were preventing you to getting back to the only place that you could maybe live. But they broke through the blockade, one of the few, and they were able to get into Israel. With no money, nothing, they got a piece of apartment, one apartment with one room, and some money from the Jewish agency, and that's where they set up shop. 1947 comes around. Baruch Cohen's son, Shmuel Cohen, is 18 years old, and the Independence War breaks out. So he goes to his father and says, I want to go to the army. I want to go to the army. And his father says, absolutely not. And at that time, and even today, a ben yachid, an only child, especially if you other children had passed away, an only child has to get written permission to go into a combat unit from the parents. Otherwise, you're not allowed. So he kept pressing his father, I have to go. I have to go. You have to let me go. Until finally the father agreed and said, you know what? If you go, though, and you don't come home, you know two people have died. And Shmuel Cohen goes off to battle. And as he goes off to battle, he's actually in the first month of in the army. I mean, think about it. Back then, you had like a couple days of training, how to shoot a gun, and that was it. And you're on the front line. But he was an extremely talented individual, showed a lot of leadership, and he was actually second in command of his group after a month. And after a month and a half, he was given the charge to take over Jerusalem, to storm Jerusalem. And as he's storming Jerusalem and his troop, he got shot and he died there on the battlefield. So when they sent a small entourage to tell Baruch Cohen what had transpired to his son, they knock on the door and there's three soldiers waiting for him, and he passes out because he knows why are three soldiers coming to knock on my door. And they revive him and they tell him, listen, whatever you want to do, whatever we want to do with, tell us where you want your son to be buried, we'll take everything, we'll take care of everything from A to Z. You just have to show up. Just tell us where you want him to be buried. He said, after they revived him and he kind of came back to himself, he said, I want him to be buried in Mount Herzl, overlooking Jerusalem. He said, it's done, we'll take care of everything. Tomorrow, the funeral, 3:00, Mount Herzl. So somehow the news got out. He had literally zero survivors, zero family. And the news got out, and some of the people in his troop were able to come. And somehow 300 people show up to this funeral. And as 300 people are showing up to this funeral, Baruch Cohen is obviously completely besides himself as his coffin of his son, his last family member, his last son, is being lowered into the ground with the Israeli flag. Baruch Cohen starts to sing. And he starts to sing, Am Yisrael Chai. Am Yisrael Chai, Am Yisrael Chai. And he's the only one singing because everyone's like in shock. So obviously the general of who is over in charge of his son says to him, like, quickly go get him some water. He's obviously lost it. Get him some water. We got to, you know, help him out. He needs medical attention. And he hears this. He says, no, I'm fine. I'm actually fine. And I'll tell you exactly why I'm singing Am Yisrael Chai. Because when I was in Europe and I lost my entire beautiful family in a puff of smoke, I didn't have an answer why. And I looked up to the sky and I said, God, why? Why? But now that I'm standing here in Jerusalem and I'm lowering my son into the grave, I have an answer why. And that answer is Am Yisrael Chai. And he started dancing around as they were lowering the son, his son, his last son, into the grave. He started dancing around singing Am Yisrael Chai. True story, 1948. The message is exactly the same message. Shema Yisrael is not a prayer. It's actually not a prayer. It's brought down that if you haven't learned Torah the entire day, you fulfilled your learning by saying Shema. So it's what's called a learning lesson, a limud. What are you learning when you say Shema? What are you learning? Your learning is, what are you living for? What are you on this planet? What are you here for? What are you trying to accomplish? And that's the most difficult and most important lesson you can learn. Because everyone on this planet gets diverted, forgets what life is all about, goes off on tangents, misses the point. If you look at the world that's trying to grab us, either from the fishermen trying to grab us from the sea, or the foxes that are trying to trick us and get us to join them in a peaceful, loving ceremony. Come, join us. Come, it'll be great. How many Jews have gone off? How many Jews are living like non-Jews? How many Jews have gone and left and are never to be seen again? Millions of millions. And Rabbi Akiva and Baruch Cohen are trying to teach us a lesson. Such a lesson that it needs to be taught in such a fashion, such an extreme fashion. There's nothing more important than our values. There's nothing more important in life than living meaning itself. There's nothing more important in life than a Jewish life itself. Living a Jewish life. Living. And the way that one of my rabbis used to say is, if you don't know what you're living, if you don't know what you're willing to die for, you don't know what you're willing to live for. If you don't know what you're willing to die for, then you certainly don't know what you're willing to live for. That's the message that Rabbi Akiva is telling us. Life is not about materialism. Life is not about a career. Life is not about fame and fortune and being recognized by the goyim. Life is about living meaning and living a Jewish life and living love and realizing what you're on this planet for and developing a real relationship and connecting to something that is above and beyond yourself. It's supposed to be Vahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Love God with all your might and all your soul. Even if your soul is on the line. At that point, you're really living life. At that point, you know what you're really living for. At that point, you are really alive. That's the message. And yes, you may die. You may die and survive and live. Like, you know, that message which you know, William Wallace said. You might die in your beds and live, but you've never really lived. Because you will live that life and realize, what do I have for it? It's empty. It's nothing. Versus a real life. Even if, God forbid, your life is on the line. So that message to the soldiers. What changed? Because I was there in that experience. What changes you? When you say Shema, you realize, Shema Yisrael, that's me, I'm Yisrael. I'm here in this moment. I'm willing to give my life, if it needs to be, to defend our way of life and to defend our people. And at that point, when you have that realization, there's a spiritual point that Hashem comes down and says, if you say Shema, and the Jewish people say combined Shema, they're worth it. It's worth it for me to save them. Just in the merit of them saying Shema. Why? Because they realize what they're in the world for. They realize what they're living life for. Get out of the mundane. Get out of your nonsense life that constantly is being pulling at you. Get out. Get out of the water. Come, live with us. Get out of the water. Just get out. Drop it. You don't need this. Who needs it anyway? Just live a simple, calm, easy life. Don't grow. Don't do anything. Don't take challenges. Get out of the danger zone. Live a nice, easy, comfortable life. That's the message of the foxes. The message that Rabbi Akiva instilled in the Jewish people for centuries, forever and ever, is you have to live a meaningful life. You have to understand what life is, and you have to understand what you're willing to give your life for.